books.
You know, just a little anecdote. Welcome back to the roundtable, by the way. Just a little anecdote. I will say that in the beginning of the year, we started this new thing where we were pairing booksellers up. And the idea behind it was because it would often be we would have one bookseller at a time in years past, and it would be so long before booksellers would return. And we have such wonderful booksellers, so we thought, well, we'll make the segment a little bit longer, and we'll pair them up. Well, the pairing has been really fun because these people who are in the same industry from different corners of our region get to meet and talk and tell stories in the green room and make alliances and I don't know, plan the overthrow of the show. It's great. It's really very, very fun.
He must have had a mic in there.
He must have heard us.
He heard us.
It's very fun.
Let's go to Plan B then.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's great, and the two gentlemen who are here, I'm thrilled to have. They're two of my favorites, and I'm just very, very happy to hear their book selections for the week. Because we're blessed with wonderful, wonderful independent bookstores in our region, and we have representatives from two of those stores with us this morning. We welcome Jim Havner, who is from Green Toad Bookstore in Oneonta, New York. Hello. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
How are things in Oneonta?
We're doing pretty well.
Is that
baseball season is about ready to start.
How are things in Oneonta?
Yeah.
I'll be quiet now.
And then our buddy from Lenox, Matt Tannenbaum, is from The Bookstore. In Lenox, and always a pleasure to see you, Matt.
Thank you, Joe. Nice to be here. Jim, I stepped on that. You said something about the baseball season.
Baseball camps are ready to start here next week, right. And we're going to have thousands of people from all over the country, and it's wonderful. It's a blast.
That's good. It's a big, busy summer season.
But you get to meet people from everywhere. So
all right, so we'll set you up now. The customer comes in and says, "Hey, Jim, what cool things, what great read could I invest in this summer?" And you have a whole stack. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I want to start with a political book called Wide Awake by John Grinspan. I don't know if you're familiar with the Wide Awakes, but it was a group of young 20-year-olds that would gather together to protect anti-slavery speakers. And this group morphed into, it was white and blacks and women even, that would get together to protect the speakers. The Wide Awakes then became a group of people that would get together and have nighttime walks with banners, and they became the stormtroopers for the Republican Party.
And this is 1850s?
This would be 1858, 1859.
Right, right, right.
And of course, the North saw them as wonderful protectors of free speech and trying to move away from slavery. And the South actually saw them as a kind of a fascist stormtrooper group this book is a really clear, kind of concise idea behind how political movements can morph into something that's much bigger than that. But it's a good read, it's good narrative history, and it's about one of my favorite people, Abraham Lincoln, too. So
amazing stuff. The name of the book is Wide Awake by John Grinspan.
And who published it?
I can't remember who published it.
I can look it up.
I know you can. Can you?
So can the listeners, can Matt.
Bloomsbury.
Bloomsbury. There we go. All right. Well, I'll just work on during while you're talking, looking at who the publishers are, so Matt can keep track.
Well, I do this. I look at if I don't hear the shows, I'll look at the last couple of shows, and I'll look at the list and see what books I've been missing. And then I look up the publishers and get them. So I appreciate we appreciate each other. Besides trying to overthrow you, Joe.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
We do other things.
Where would you like to begin?
I'd like
sir?
To start with a biography of Joseph Roth. This is called Endless Flight: The Genius and Tragedy of Joseph Roth. Are we familiar with Joseph Roth's name? He wrote his most famous novel is called The Radetzky March. About the a soldier or family of soldiers in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, who the guy gets notoriety.
Yeah,
I guess for saving the emperor's life.
Notorious or notoriety?
Notoriety.
Okay.
For saving the emperor's life during a battle during the Austro-Italian campaign of 1848 or so, and then what's his name? Johann Strauss. The elder created a march called the Radetzky March. Radetzky was the town or something. Anyway, so Roth wrote this book, The Radetzky March, basically about the end of the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the beginning of the 20th century and World War I. And Caron Pym is a British writer who's written the first English language biography of Joseph Roth. And I happened to come across a piece that he wrote in the London Review of Books about a trip to Ukraine that Pym took, and discovered that his ancestors came from a town near where my ancestors came from.
All right.
And we got into a correspondence, and he told me, then I read about the book, and he mentioned that he's going to be in North America in June. He's having two talks, one in Toronto, one in New York City. He noticed that Albany on the Amtrak line is close to Lenox, and we've arranged for him to come to the bookstore in Lenox on June 14th in the middle between his two trips to events in Toronto and New York. So, and I've been reading his book, and Joseph Roth is a great character, a great writer, and who, as I say, grew up in the late 19th, early 20th century from Eastern Europe as a poor shtetl Jew living in a Polish-speaking neighborhood. But he wanted to speak, he wanted to write and be known in the German language. And so he moved to Vienna and then eventually to Paris and he wrote novels and short stories and journalism about Europe in those years, in the teens and the 20s and the 30s.
Well, the name of the new book is Endless Flight, The Genius and Tragedy of Joseph Roth. And not to show you up, Jim, but it's published by Granta.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that.
You didn't know?
No, I did not know at all.
All right, you're up next, sir.
Okay, I have a novel here called All Fours by Miranda Julie, who's written a number of different things. And she's actually been actress and comes from different directions. It's a story about a 40-some-year-old woman, married woman, who tells her husband that she wants to take a trip across the United States for 3 weeks. And she heads out. They have a young child, and he's going to watch the child, and she heads out. And she's about an hour away, and she stops at a gas station, and then she takes a detour. And the detour takes her into a much longer journey than clear across the country. But it's really a story about a person really trying to find themselves in middle age. It's really a good comedic piece.
So much fun.
It is.
So you know, the chapter, we had her on the Miranda Joy on the book show last week, I believe.
Right.
And but in the novel, I think it's the second chapter when she goes to stay in this motel. And then suddenly she tries to, she decides that she's going to do like an HGTV renovation
of the motel room.
Of this motel room. And it's the funniest damn thing I've read in a really long time. It's just so ridiculous and so hilarious. It lovely. Just perfect.
She can take an idea and veer off like an exit ramp of a highway.
Yeah.
And then follow her own nose. To yeah, that incredible scene where she understands that, not to give too much away, because I haven't finished the whole book and I stopped reading interviews with her because I don't want to know too much about it.
Right.
So, but she's just wonderful. And she, you know, I first came across Miranda July as a short story writer.
Yes.
Her first book of short stories, No One Belongs Here More Than You.
Yes.
And you know, I wanted today for us to all pay homage to the great short story writer Alice Munro.
Yes,
and I think of Miranda July, and I think of Alice Munro, and what a great form short stories are.
Absolutely, yeah. I've just been reading. I missed Alice Munro's last book from 2012, I guess, and I've been reading that for a while. It's just lovely, absolutely lovely. But the new Miranda July, it's all fours, it's a novel, and I don't think you have to be too worried, because I don't think you're going to pick up with what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just keep going.
Yeah,
keep going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Miranda July, and the name of the book is All Fours.
And Riverhead Publicists.
Man. Yeah, there you go.
what a friendly crowd.
Yeah, there you go. Well, in case you're at home and you're putting out your own requisition forms.
The next one, we're going to change subject completely here, is published by, I'll tell you who the publisher is first, is Haymarket Books.
Yes.
And this is a book called Against Erasure, A Photographic Memory of Palestine Before the Nakba. So this is a group of photographs discovered by these two writers, Teresa Arguren and Sandra Barilaro. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing their names correctly. They found this treasure trove of photos, of family photos, the Matson Collection, apparently it was called, or most of them are from, in a hotel in Jerusalem. And these are photographs of life in Palestine before 1948. And I think of it as, when I first came across the book, I saw it as a counter to Roman Vishniak's book a long time ago called A Vanished World, where Roman Vishniak had these photographs of Jewish settlers and Jewish villages in Eastern Europe before the war that are gone now. That were gone, you know, right after he took the photographs. And so these are very sweet photographs of mostly family life, actually, in Palestine before 1948. Haymarket Books, a beautiful photography book.
The name of the book again is Against Erasure. All right, Jim.
The next book I have is called Heart of American Darkness by Robert G. Parkinson, who's a professor down at SUNY Binghamton in our neck of the woods. It is a book that deals with our early frontier. And I picked this book because, you know, we always look about our American past and we always put it against the backdrop of the frontier. And I think, you know, many people, you know, think of the frontiers. Everybody had their log cabin and went and shot their game, took their flintlock above the fireplace and went out and shot their game and made their own food. And they were in charge of themselves and that. And this book really talks about, especially here in Pennsylvania and New York, about two particular families, the Cressups, who were a colonial family. Who were very much involved in extreme violence and land grabs from the Native Americans. And the Skelemanis, who actually is an Iroquois family, who actually met their death by a massacre on the frontier. Nearly the whole family was nearly killed.
What year was this? What years were these?
This is the French and Indian War, the 1750s and 1760s in that. The murder of the family actually takes place in 1774. So it covers from the French and Indian War up through the beginning of the revolution and that. But it really looks at the idea of violence and this idea of that it's okay to be able to be violent against someone just because they can.
Wow.
And it's really kind of an eye-opener when we kind of think of the frontier and that kind of early history of of the country. And then also, to me, it really spoke to the role of guns and violence and what really guns and violence really entertains and that there. Yeah. So Heart of American Darkness by Robert Parkinson, published by Norton.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Next up, Matt.
I'm going back to England. Was I in England before? Yeah. The Care on Pym book is published by Granta UK.
Yes.
So this book, Barbara Cummins, A Savage Innocence, by Avril Horner, published by the University of Manchester Press. What do we know about Barbara Cummins? Do we know her work at all? Have you ever heard of her?
No, not at all.
I don't know. I see two paperbacks.
These are two old paperbacks from the
I was going to say, when were these things?
1980s, right. Yeah. Right. This is when Virago, a British Virago imprint from a British publisher, sold some of these books by Barbara Cummins or Mary Webb or Sylvia Townsend Warner. British writers, British women writers, who were not known, especially in the States. Sisters by a River was first published in 1947 by Barbara Cummins, and is the story of, it's a kind of semi-autobiographical memoir of her growing up with her quirky family. And then she leaves whenever all the girls all grow up and one boy. And she says in Sisters by a River, she says, and there is one child who I'll never write about because they don't want me to. And you don't know anything about this other child until you read the biography by Avril Horner, and it was a brother. So it was mostly sisters, five sisters, and one boy grew up. And then mom got deaf after the birth of the last child. And when she would get upset at the children, she would cover her eyes so she couldn't see them signing to her. She didn't want to hear anything. She didn't want to see anything. Dad dies.
Does that mean
and
shut
then,
up?
Yeah. Dad dies, and then the house is disbanded, and Barbara, among the other sisters, goes off, becomes a governess. Or I think she becomes a secretary, maybe a governess. And then she moves to London, and she gets involved in the art community. Mm-hmm. And she gets married. She has a child. She lives in poverty. She has affairs. She has she gets mixed up with a guy, or not mixed up, but hooked up with a guy who was good friends with Kim Philby, the Cambridge spy. And so this is a lovely, you know, reading Barbara Cummins, and I've read most of her books, Sisters by a River, Our Spoons Came from Woolworth, The Vet's Daughter. They're all quirky. And basically, she wasn't all that well known because when Sisters by a River came out in 1947, this is after the Second World War, and England wanted, you know, let's get back to normal. Right. We don't want to hear this quirky stuff.
Right.
It turns out she was published by Lilliput Magazine, which was founded by a guy who used to live in Lenox, Stefan Loran, when he was living in London in the 30s. So it was a great connection for me to find that out. So this is a lovely biography, Barbara Cummins, A Savage Innocence.
May I ask you a follow-up question?
Please.
Are the original novels, Sisters by a River and some of the others, are they still in print?
Not those editions, but New York Review of Books. Thank you for asking that. Because New York Review of Books, a lovely publisher.
I do what I can.
Yeah.
Want to help the industry.
are being republished by the New York Review of Books. Right now, Juniper Tree, which is one I had not read before, Vet's Daughter, and Our Spoons Came from Woolworth's are reprinted by the New York Review of Books.
Great.
Another one called Who Was Changed and Who Was Dead is published by a small company called Dorothy A., that used to be distributed by Small Press Distribution, that company that went belly up a couple of weeks ago.
Well, great stuff. Again, the name of the book is A Savage Innocence by Avril Horner, published by Manchester University Press. Jim?
My next book is The Night Watch by Jane Ann Phillips. It won the Pulitzer Prize. And have you read this, Matt?
I have not read it. Should have, but I didn't.
But it's a story of about a mother and a daughter. The mother has been silent for a year, maybe even part of this family. But it's right after the Civil War. And their father, husband, had went off to the war and never returned. And the mother is taken to a lunatic asylum. And the daughter goes with her. And she pretends to be not the daughter, but her maid. So she gets to stay with the mother, which I think is kind of an interesting twist on the story of someone going into an asylum and that. And it's a wonderful, incredibly rich, detailed idea of what an asylum's like in this time period. And the mother becomes better over time, but the characters in the story are really the night watch is one man's name, the stern tyrant who cooks the meals. It's just a wonderful thing, and she's written about this is her third novel, I think, of a trilogy. From Lark and Termite was the second one there.
Yes.
In that.
Okay, right. Yep.
And on the Civil War and that time period.
Wow.
And that type of a thing.
Night Watch, it came out in the fall, but it is
yes.
Garnering praise once again as the Pulitzer Prize winning novel of 2024. Jim, let's go into a bonus round. We have about 4 minutes, so I'll let you do the two last books, and then we'll let Matt do his two last books.
Okay. Well, I got Calm Toybean, who's one of my favorites, Long Island, which is the follow-up to Brooklyn. And it takes.
That's where you moved after Brooklyn. You moved out to Long Island.
Yeah, out to Long Island. So Eilish and their husband Tony move out there with his family, and in a cul-de-sac, and Tony, all of a sudden one night or one evening, a man shows up and tells her that Tony's having a baby with his wife, and that he's not keeping the child, and he's bringing the child over and depositing it on the doorstep. And of course, this causes problems between Eilish and Tony, and the family, you know, because she's Irish and they're all one family. And and she decides to go back and visit her mother in Enniscorthy and Wexford. For her 80th birthday. The last time she'd been in Enniscorthy and she'd been there to visit her family, and she'd had an affair with Jim Farrell, a local owner of a pub, and she never told him that he was married, and then all of a sudden she just up and left one day.
Bad choice after
bad choice. But Calm Toybean to me is just, I mean, he's got this kind of sequence of books of Brooklyn, Long Island, and Nora Webster. It's just, I'm amazed by how he creates his women characters and what they say.
I love that this book is called Long Island, and 90% of it takes place in Ireland.
90% of it
yeah,
takes place in Ireland.
It's great.
But you get just enough of Long Island.
You get the beginning of Long Island, and then they get the hell out of there, off they go. All right, real quick, your last book.
Last book is The Second Coming, just came out. Garth Riss-Kahlberg. It's a story about a young lady goes down into the subway to retrieve her phone. She gets hit by the train. Her father, who's out in California, who's an alcoholic and a drug addict, finds out about this. Then they come back together. He comes back to help take care of her. And it's a good story about people separated and coming back together. I'll leave it at that.
He's the City of Fire guy, right?
Yeah, City of Fire guy.
Yeah,
yes.
Second Coming by Garth Riss-Hallberg. All right, Matt.
Okay, Jane Ann Phillips has a lot of characters. This book is filled with characters. This is called Freaks Came Out to Write, Oral History of the Village Boys. And this is a book that was supposed to come out early in the spring. I only got copies about 2 weeks ago because the publisher, I forget who the publisher is.
Public Affairs.
I had a hard time getting it. But it's a great book. It's a great oral history. Great chapters, like,
you know, they publish it on the spine now.
I'm going to have to look more closely.
You have to keep that up. Since you care so much about the publishers.
I'm putting a face out all the time.
You may want to look at the spine. Go ahead.
So this is Tricia Romano, who was a writer for The Voice for almost 20 years and has put together a couple of hundred oral interviews and made an oral history of The Village Voice from 1955 to the present. It's back online now, apparently. I didn't even know that. I used to sell The Voice at the bookstore.
Right.
Back in the 70s.
Now, we're out of time, so I'm going to ask you, do you want to do the last book, or do you want to do a quick list of your events coming up?
Last book.
Okay.
Because it's Bob Eckstein's new book.
Oh, we like him.
Footnotes from the Most Fascinating Museums. He's the guy who did the book about the bookstore.
The bookstores, including your store.
Including our store. So this is published by Princeton Architectural Press, and they took a hint from the way the first book, the bookstore book, came out, and so they added a table of contents, so you didn't have to keep looking for your favorite museum. This is museums all over the world, and he's divided this into categories like art museums, fetish museums, that kind of thing. So this is a great one, and I can tell you about some of the events. Do I have a minute?
No.
No, okay. Well,
But here you
then.
Go. If you go Fine. To bookstoreinlenox.com, you can find out about the events there. Bookstoreinlenox.com. You can also go to greentoadbookstore.com and find out about what's happening there. Go to wamc.org/roundtable to see the complete list. Matt Tannenbaum, Jim Havner, I thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have both of you. We'll be right back.